Good morning. I love a good beginning. I love a good beginning. Now, oftentimes we think about a good ending. You know, I love a good ending. You say to somebody, hey, did you read this book? And someone says, oh, yeah, what an ending. I can't believe that last chapter. What an ending. You know, or a movie. Did you see the movie? Oh, man, it was a great movie. But towards the end, I was like on the edge of my seat. What an ending. What an ending. But I love endings as well. But I also like good beginnings. Have you ever read a book and like the first sentence or paragraph just grabs you? You know, you read it and you're like, I'm in. You know, this book has grabbed me right away. Or a movie. You know, the first scene in the movie, you're there. You know, or a TV. I don't know if you're into Law and Order. That's been around for many, many years. They're known for right away. You're in. You watch that. It just there's a way. There's these beginnings, these good beginnings that just grab your attention. When I was in the seminary, give you a little trade secret here. When I was in the seminary, our homiletics professor, told us that whenever you're going to preach, know this, that the first thing you say is one of the most important things that you're going to say because it's what gets the congregation's attention. And if you miss that opportunity, within 10 seconds, it's going to take another minute or two to get that attention back again. So beginnings are important to me. I hope I do that every so often. A good beginning to get people's attention. When I prepare a homily, I actually get it all together in my head, and I work a lot on what I'm going to say first to hopefully draw people's attention. So there's a little homiletics insight there. But it's about good beginnings. Good beginnings somehow capture us and get our attention. So I present that to you today because today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the beginning of a new, what is called, liturgical year. Now, for those of you perhaps new to the Episcopal Church, the word liturgical sounds like even saying that word can be a challenge. Liturgy is what we do as a worshiping people. We gather together on Sundays and other times. Whenever we gather together for prayer, we are sort of doing liturgy. The word liturgy comes from a Greek word meaning the work of the people. And so we are working in our faith journeys together in this liturgy that we do. And so there is a schedule, a calendar that we Episcopalians follow, a liturgical calendar that we walk through. And we go through these seasons. There's Advent, there's Christmas, there's Epiphany, there's Lent, there's Easter. There's the time after Easter, there's Pentecost, there's the ordinary times, if I missed any. All the seasons of the year. If you go to coffee hour later, when you walk through that door, up on the wall is a big circle that shows all the seasons of the liturgical year. So today's the beginning. Today's the beginning. And I hope it's a good beginning. Because what's interesting about Advent is, during this season of Advent, and even today in our readings, we're challenged in the beginning to look to the end. To look to the end. Now, for me, end doesn't mean the destruction and everything just is destroyed. That sort of fearful thing of when's it all going to end. But for me, the end means more the fulfillment of that to which all of creation is moving. To me, is the end time. Sometimes you hear scripture use the end time, and you'll hear some folks talk about the end time as almost some sort of fearful thing. And there's some dimension to that, but for me, it's this idea of walking into the fulfillment. We participate in this journey towards the end time, towards the fulfillment of the Christ, towards the fulfillment of creation. And so we begin that journey today, during this season of Advent. And so Advent gets confused as being kind of the countdown to Christmas. You know, it's like 4, 3, 2, 1, bam, it's Christmas. And there's probably some of that. in this season. But Advent really isn't about that primarily. I say this every year, hoping I'll remember. And I wish Advent came at a different time of the year. That may not make any sense. I think we miss this invitation of Advent being this time of hopefulness, this time of waiting, this time of watching, and this time that invites us to participate in that movement. Does that make sense? Participate in that. It's a time to reflect on it. In many ways, it's always Advent. It's always Advent as we prepare for that. And so one of the challenges I find of this journey is we sometimes think that even our readings speak of it a little bit, this idea that something's going to happen in the future that we're just waiting for, and we're just waiting. I think Advent is also a time where God is waiting for us to participate, to be present to what is right before us. I shared in my newsletter article that just went out the passing of Thomas Keating, who was a Trappist monk who was one of the founders of what's called centering prayer. And there's a quote there that Thomas Keating has, and many spiritual writers say it in similar ways, but this idea that we somehow think that the journey of faith is to get to a different place and get to a different time, but the realization is that it's already here. We already live in the midst of the fullness of Christ. And how can we touch that? How can we taste that? How can we wake up to that? How can we hear that in our lives? It's sometimes not easy because I like distractions maybe a little bit better. You know, distractions. We fill our lives with distractions rather than being present to presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, present to presence. Instead, what Advent becomes is present to presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. We're all online now looking at what we can order, whether it's a store. We're present to presence, gifts, but invite us to be present to presence. Be present. The challenge is we carry our distractions around with us. We need them to accompany us. We take them everywhere we go. And one symbol of those distractions is this. Do many of you have one of these? Don't walk out of here today thinking that I'm criticizing our technology. I'm not at all. But we can allow this to be a distraction for us. I was walking through the mall the other day, and there was this young guy and girl walking around holding hands, kind of walking down, and he's got this going on, you know, looking, checking the cell phone. Now, maybe he had something he was waiting to see. Maybe an unfair judgment for me to make that judgment. But that idea of how we can't even be present sometimes to each other or one another. We love the distractions, and we kind of take pride in our distractions, you know. Oh, you can't believe how many emails I get. I can't believe. Look at my calendar. I can't. We almost take pride in that. I think I'd like to suggest that we allow ourselves to think about ways that we can step away from distractions, somehow be present to presence, and perhaps those distractions will cease to be distractions, but become more of a fullness of who, of what we're about and what we can be about in our lives. So I want to invite you to consider that a bit during this season of Advent. How to be present to presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. How to be present to presence. Now, one way of doing that is, and we gather together here every Sunday. We do liturgy, as we've used the phrase. We don't view liturgy. We're not spectators of liturgy. We all do liturgy. All of us together are doing what we're doing today. And we all have different roles to play. So we believe in our liturgical tradition that Christ is present to us. The Holy is present to us in three ways. At least present to us in a lot of ways, but at least three. At least three. One is in gathering. Just in gathering together like this, Christ is present among us. Our gathering here is different than gathering at the restaurant or at the mall. We're gathering here in a particular way, and we believe the Holy is present to us. We also believe that the Holy is present to us when we hear the Word proclaimed. At the end of each reading, what do we say? The Word of the Lord. It's not my word, it's the Word of the Lord. And these readings are given to us throughout the liturgical season. We don't choose these readings on Sundays. They're given to us on Sundays in this liturgical cycle that we follow. Because if we had to choose them, there's some I wouldn't choose. I don't want to hear that. But the liturgical cycle encourages us, and in some ways challenges us to hear things we may not want to hear. But Christ is present in that. We also believe that the Holy, that the Christ is present in the Eucharist. That in this bread and this wine, Christ is present to us. So first, I think we have to open ourselves to that presence so that we can go forth into the world and be present to the world as well and make a difference and practice being present here. And so I invite you during the Sundays of Advent to come to church and to be somehow, how can you be a little more self-aware of how can I be present to presence? I was teasing the 7:30 service this morning, and you don't have to do this, but you know, perhaps when you come to communion this morning, when you get up from your pew, maybe just leave this behind as a symbol, just as a symbol. Nothing, there's nothing wrong with these. Someone at 7:30 says, so you don't like cell phones. No, I love cell phones. It organizes my life and communicate. And I have things on here from Richard Rohr. I have things on here from David Steindl-Rast. This enriches me. But it sometimes can be a symbol to us. So maybe let it be a symbol of whatever distractions fill our lives. It'll be there when you get back. You know. But just as a symbol of, I'm just gonna step away a bit from whatever the distractions are of my life. And we all do. There's things that we're going through. There may be things in our families, in our homes, in our communities, at our job, that are really, really on us. But how can we just be present? Because when we can learn to do that, then we can be a presence in this world. We can become present in a more deep level to the injustice that's out there, to the poverty, to the struggling, to the sick, to violence, to the unbelievable way that we are treating each other in this culture today, demeaning each other. We need to be present to that so that we can bring about the presence of Christ, the presence of the Holy One. And in doing that, we are walking towards the end. We are walking towards the fullness of the Christ, walking to the fullness of creation, of what it's meant to be. And we are needing to participate in that. It doesn't just happen. We don't just come here and be present to the Eucharist, to the Word, and to each other, and then go out there and just, you know, I go to church on Sundays, that's what I do. But to go out and bring that presence to our world, and be present to that world and bring about that presence. A world that is so hungering for that and so in need of that. So invite you during this season, these next few weeks, to be present to presence, and be present to one another, those we love, those we care for, to practice presence in our lives.